Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the program Socially Speaking. The time right now is 8 minutes past 10. Well, I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And we commence this cold morning with Monday morning focus. It's called The Ideal Muslimah. And we'll just continue with the program. We just continue from where we left off. Of course, last week we couldn't do the program because of the Hajj broadcast. And I think the week before that I couldn't come in to do a program because of a mayat that we had to attend. Okay, so we are going to continue talking about the Muslim woman taking care of her body, her mind and her soul. And today, inshallah, we'll be focusing on her soul. How to take care of your soul. We'll be looking at performing acts of worship to purify the soul, keeping company with righteous people and attending religious gatherings. And we'll also look at frequently repeating du'as, that is supplications. Those are so important to keep your soul in good condition at all times. Thereafter, we hope to, inshallah, for the last time, cross over to the Holy Lands, where we hope to catch up with Mulana Mohammed Venka. And as we know, the Hajj is over. The Hujjaj are either back home, and I do believe these Hujjajs are back home already, or on their way. I know people coming back today, tomorrow, and of course, are they on their way or are they preparing to come back home? So we'll be talking to Mulana in a little while, inshallah. So for now, it's the ideal Muslimah, and we're looking at the soul and how to, keep the soul in a good condition. The Muslim woman, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the Muslim woman does not neglect to polish her soul through worship, dhikr, that is remembrance of Allah, and also reading the Holy Quran. So there's three ways to actually do it: to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to perform dhikr, and to read the Holy Quran. That is something that is so vital to us, to keep our soul in the best of conditions. And as a Muslim woman, we never neglect to perform acts of worship at the appointed times. Just as she takes care of her body and her mind, she also takes care of her soul. So we should never forget, we mustn't just concentrate on our body and our mind. We also need to remember that we do have a soul that needs to be taken care of as well. And, as she understands that the human being is composed of a body, a mind and a soul. So we're not only body and mind, we need to remember our soul as well. And that all of these three deserves our equal and appropriate attention. Now, a person may be distinguished by the balance that he or she strikes between the body, the mind and the soul, so that none is cared for at the expense of another. So very important that, we should not only be thinking of our body and our mind, but we need to equally give equally, to our soul as well. To strike this balance guarantees the development of a sound, mature and a moderate character. So these three important points, is very important for us to remember, because if we want a moderate, a sound and a mature character, then we need to give equal and appropriate attention to all three, that is the body, the mind and the soul, inshallah. Now, when I say we need to perform worships, as Muslim women, to strike this balance, worship is very important. So we perform acts of worship regularly, and that will help to purify our soul. The Muslim woman pays due attention to her soul and polishes it through with worship, doing so with a pure and a calm approach that will allow the spiritual meanings to penetrate deep into her being. So there's no haphazardness here. We need to be very careful with regards to our soul. Muslim woman removes herself from the hustle and the bustle of life and concentrates on her worship as much as she is able to. So, you know, a simple example is our salah. When we read, we need to read our, and this is advice for myself first, and for all our ladies out there. I know we are always such busy people, you know, whether we're just at home or whether we're just outside anywhere else, but we are always busy. And, you know, when it comes to salah time, you know, we're always busy doing something. For example, we're busy baking a cake. So, okay, I'm guilty of it. And I hope, inshallah, after I'm talking to you about this, I will change my ways too. But, you know, baking a cake, for example, a simple thing. But we'll wait. Okay, I can't go and read my salah now. It's Zohar time. I can't read my salah now. Just let me wait till this cake is done. This is not the right way. We need to rather leave the cake, rather stop baking that cake, stop whatever you are doing, go and perform your salah, and then continue with what you have to do. So that is important. We need to, you know, be so punctual and so careful where our worship is concerned. So we need to actually remove ourselves from whatever we are doing, you know, any of the hustle and bustle of life, and we must concentrate on our worship as much as we are able to. Now, there's so many little things that we normally do, and we always leave it for just now. You know, I'll read my salah just now. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes because of that negligence of ours, we miss our salah. So we need to be careful about that, inshallah. So when she prays, she does so with calmness of heart and clearness of mind, so that her soul may be refreshed by the meanings of the Quran, the dhikr, and the tasbih that she's mentioning. So when we are reading our salah, we need to read it, you know, with so much of concentration. We need to try and, you know, understand what we are reading in our salah. Then that comes again, the same old thing, that we need to, you know, read our Quran and try and understand what we are reading. So if we don't know what we are reading now, we must make an effort to go and learn and to understand the Quran, inshallah. The dhikr and the tasbih, all of this that we do, we need to know what we are saying or what we are reading. Then she should sit alone for a little while, praising and glorifying Allah and reciting some ayat from the Quran and meditating about you know, or upon the beautiful meanings of the words that she is reciting. You know, we don't give ourselves time. We as women are always so busy doing things that we forget about ourselves. But alhamdulillah, you know, those five times a day where we need to read our salah, that should be our time alone with our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we should be, you know, those few minutes, it's 5-10 minutes of our time where we actually can just sit down and think about what we are doing, you know, meditate, think about the beautiful, the meanings of the words that we are reciting, alhamdulillah. But we should actually give ourselves that time. So 5 times a day, 10 minutes a day, or even 5 minutes a day, you know, while you are reading your salah, and just after you're reading your salah, or just before you're reading your salah, sit down and meditate for a little while. She should check her attitude and her behavior every now and then, correcting herself if she has done anything wrong or fallen short in some time. This is very important, you know. Sometimes we just carry on with the kind of attitude that we have and the kind of behaviors. We just carry on and carry on, and we think we are right all the time. We don't think that maybe, you know, our attitude towards people may be hurting them, or our behavior towards others may be hurting them, and especially towards our own, you know, our loved ones. So that is very important. When we give ourselves that little time for ourselves, we need to check on these important things, our attitudes and our behavior. And if possible, help, you know, try and correct ourselves. If we can do it ourselves, then we definitely don't need others to do it for us. So take the time off, sit for a few minutes, and help yourself. So her worship will bring about the desired results of a purity of soul, cleansing her of her sins, and freeing her from the bonds of Shaitan, whose constant whispering may destroy a person. Now, if she makes a mistake, or if she stumbles from the straight path, the true Muslim woman soon puts it right, seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, renounces her sin or her error, and repents sincerely. So, and this is the attitude of a righteous, Allah-fearing Muslim woman. So important for us to remember to do these things for ourselves. You know, if we have made a mistake, if we have sinned, then we need to rectify that immediately by asking for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, you know, when we do that, we need to be sincere in our repentance. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, in chapter 7, verse 201, those who fear Allah, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, those who fear Allah, when a thought of evil from shaitan assaults them, bring Allah to remembrance, when lo, they see aright. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tell his companions, and may Allah be pleased with them all, that renew your faith. He was asked, O Messenger of Allah, how do we renew our faith? And he said, by frequently repeating, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So we need to do that all the time. Just, you know, it's so important for us to remember that. You know, sometimes we do tend to forget, but this is a reminder for us, inshallah, and we should do it all the time. The Muslim woman always seeks to help or seeks the help of Allah Ta'ala in strengthening and purifying her soul by constantly worship and remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, checking herself and keeping in mind at all times what will please Allah. So whatever pleases Him, she should do, and whatever angers Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, she should refrain from. Thus, she will remain on the straight path, never deviating from it or doing wrong, inshallah. Okay, so another thing that is very important is that a Muslim woman should always keep company with righteous people and should try and join religious gatherings. Now, in order to attain this high status, the Muslim woman chooses righteous, Allah-fearing friends who will be true friends and will offer sincere advice, and they will not betray her in word or in deed. Good friends have a great influence in keeping a Muslim woman on the straight path and helping her to develop good habits and refined characteristics. So a good friend, in most cases, mirrors one's behavior and attitudes. So really, good friends have a good influence on you. And they say, do not, it is said that you should not ask a man, or do not ask about a man, but ask about his friends. For every friend follows his friends. So you know, when you are always told to look for good people or be in the company of good people, then it is important for us to remember. I think our parents always tell us that, you know, when you, especially when you're young, look for good friends, try and get good friends. Don't just, you know, get involved with people that you know, that are not good people. Make sure they come from good families, good background. The person themselves must be good. You know, we always encourage our children to look for good friends. But even as adults, we need to also make sure that when we choose friends, we need to choose good friends and decent people. So mixing with decent people is an indication of one's good lineage and noble aims in life. And by mixing with noble people, you become one of them. So you should never regard anyone else as a friend. It is also as essential to choose good friends as it is to avoid doing evil. Now, if you mix with people, make friends with the best of them. Do not make friends with the worst of them, lest you become like them. Well, the Muslim woman should be keen to attend gatherings where there is discussions of Islam and the greatness of its teachings regarding the individual, family and society, and where those present think of the power of Almighty Allah and His bountiful blessings to His creation, and also encourage one another to obey His commandments and His prohibitions, and also to seek refuge from Him. So attend gatherings where Islam and its teachings are discussed. It is important for us, because in such gatherings, hearts are actually softened and the souls are purified, and a person's whole being is filled with the joy of faith. So remember, the next time you do attend any of these gatherings, this inshallah will help you. Your hearts get soft, your souls purified, and your whole being will be filled with joy and faith. Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu, whenever he met one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to say, "Come, let us believe in our Lord for a while." When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about this, he said, "May Allah have mercy on Ibn Rawaha, for he loves the gatherings that the angels feel proud of attend, or rather proud to attend." The rightly guided Khalifa Umar al-Farooq radiallahu anhu used to make the effort to take a regular break from his many duties and the burden of his position as a ruler, and he would take the hand of one or two of his men and he would say, "Come on, let's go and increase our faith." Then they would remember Allah. Even Umar radiallahu anhu, who was so righteous and he performed so many acts of worship, felt the need to purify his soul from time to time. And he would remove himself for a while from the cares and worries of life to refresh his soul and to cleanse his heart. Likewise, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu would often say to his companions when they were walking, "Let us sit down and believe for a while." The Muslim is responsible for strengthening his soul and purifying his heart. He must always push himself to attain a higher level and also guard against slipping down. In the Quran, in chapter 91, verse 7 to 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "By the soul and the proportion and order given to it, and by its enlightenment as to its wrong and its right, truly he succeeds that purifies it, and he fails that corrupts it." So the Muslim woman, alhamdulillah, is required to choose with care the best friends and attend the best gatherings, so that she will be in an environment which will increase her faith and her taqwa. And once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, in chapter 18, verse 28, "And keep your soul content with those who call on their Lord morning and evening, seeking His face, and let not your eyes pass beyond them, seeking the pomp and glitter of this life, nor obey any whose heart we have permitted to neglect the remembrance of us. One who follows his own desires, whose case has gone beyond all bounds." Okay, so alhamdulillah, it is important for us as Muslim women to try and to attend, religious gatherings, and also to keep company with the righteous people, and that also will have an effect on our soul, alhamdulillah. And of course, also very important is to frequently repeat du'as or supplications. They say in another way in which the Muslim woman may strengthen her soul and also connect her heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by repeating the supplications or du'as, which is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say on various occasions. So the du'as that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite on different occasions, are important, and we should try and also repeat them as often as possible. So there's a du'a, for example, for leaving the house and others for entering the house. Those are all the simple du'as that we think it's a simple du'as. I promise you, they are
the best of du'as. You know, entering the house, starting to eat, finishing a meal, wearing clothes, etc. When you sleep, before you go to bed, before you get up. All these are important things. Saying farewell to a traveler, welcoming a traveler back home, etc. There is actually hardly anything that the Prophet ﷺ did that he did not have a dua for, through which he asked Allah to bless him in this, in his endeavor, to also protect him from error, to guide him from the to the truth, to decree good for him and safeguard him from evil, as is explained in the books of hadith narrated by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he also used to teach these du'as, these supplications, these adhkars, this remembrance of Allah to his companions, and he used to encourage them to repeat them at the appropriate times. So a true Muslim woman is or should always be keen to learn these du'as and these adhkars, following the example of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his distinguished companions. And she should also keep repeating them at the appropriate times as much as she is able to. In this way, inshallah, her heart will be remained focused on Allah, her soul will be cleansed and purified, and her iman, inshallah, will be increased. The Muslim woman who understands the teachings of her religion, looks with, she's going and she strives to increase her good deeds so that inshallah she may be saved from the terrifying trap into which shaitan among mankind and jinn in all times and places try to make them fall. So, you know, it is important inshallah to continuously read all these du'as and adhkars that are taught to us. Now we start learning them from a very young age, but we should continue learning all these du'as as much as we possibly can. And of course, say him at the right time, inshallah. Allah make it easy for all of us, inshallah. Well, that's it from us for now. Until next week, that is when I get back to do the Monday morning focus. But when we return, inshallah, we will be speaking to Maulana Muhammad Venkar, who is still in the Holy Lands, inshallah. And we just want to catch up and find out what's happening. And we also want to talk a little about, you know, life after Hajj, inshallah. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and joining me online from the Holy Lands is Maulana Muhammad Venkar. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam. Barakallahu feekum, jazakallahu khairan.
And how are you this morning, Maulana? And you know, I'm not going to waste time because I'm so scared we may not be able to do the whole program if the lines are not clear again. But tell us, what is, you know, what kind of emotions are the Hujjaj experiencing now that the Hajj is over and they are either preparing to return home? And I do believe many of them are on their way back home or may have landed already.
Yes, alhamdulillah, we find some of the Hujjaj have already left yesterday. Many are leaving today. In fact, as I speak to you, we will also be leaving today, inshallah, you know, back to South Africa, you know, this evening, inshallah. And some of the Hujjaj will be leaving closer to the weekend. In terms of the spirit, you know, when a Haji comes, you know, he comes with a lot of aspirations, ambitions, and desires. And alhamdulillah, you know, they've come on this journey hoping that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has accepted this journey. You know, now comes the time, generally when Hajj comes to an end, then we find that the Hujjaj look forward to returning back to their families, back to their countries, back to their homes. Mm. You know, and I suppose this is a this is the system of Allah, that everything has to come to a halt, everything comes to an end. And, you know, alhamdulillah, once the days of Hajj are over, the Hujjaj look forward to, you know, returning back to their families. So it's a, you know, it's a flush of, it's a combination of happiness and sadness as well. Happiness in a sense, you know, alhamdulillah, many hajjaj spent a good few weeks in the kingdom. And, you know, sadness in a sense that, you know what, we spend this time in Makkah al-Mukarrama, we spend these days in Medina al-Munawwara, and, you know, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us again and again for many, many of the hajjaj. Allah alone knows, you know, for, in fact, you know, no person knows for certainty whether they would come back to this blessed land. So that is, you know, the sadness is separation from, you know, you created the spiritual bond with Makkah and Medina, and, you know, the 5 days of Hajj, the Mashayir, Arafah, Mina, Muzdalifah for the last couple of days. Alhamdulillah, now it has come to a rapid end and it's time, you know, to move on. And like we always say, you know, we advise the Hajjaj that the journey of Hajj is a journey of death. A journey that reminds one that, you know what, you're not going to live in this world, you know, forever. You come, it's a passing phase, and the time will come, we will have to move on, you know, to the journey towards Akhirah.
Inshallah, we do wish them all a safe journey back, however. But, Malana, when are the last Hajis expected to leave? I mean, the South African Hajis, obviously, to leave the kingdom.
Okay, but this last South African Hajjaj are expected to leave the kingdom by, I think, Saturday, inshallah. You know, they would be leaving on Saturday and they would arrive back home in South Africa on Sunday. In fact, today is yesterday, there were some Hajjaj that left from, you know, left from Aziziya, left from Makkah, they went to Masjid Aqsa, so they were spending a week in Masjid Aqsa, and they will return home next week, inshallah. But those Hajjaj who are still here, who are flying back home, you know, some are leaving today, tomorrow, over the next few days, and the last group will be leaving on Saturday, inshallah.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Any, you know, is everything going according to plan, you know, especially are they experiencing perhaps any hiccups, maybe delay in flights, etc.? Or are you not aware of that?
No, in terms of, you know, this year, fortunately, apart from that first night in Mina, you know, there were some winds, and I think, you know, I had seen some messages on social media, which was, I think, exaggerated, you know, to a great extent. There was no, you know, there was nobody that was injured. The winds were a bit heavy. It was raining a bit. But apart from that, you know, everything went according to plan. I made mention to some of the Hajjaj yesterday that this was a relatively easy Hajj, you know, without any incidents. You know, it was a very, very easy Hajj, apart from the heat. But apart from that, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has been extremely kind, especially to those, you know, who embarked on this journey this year on Hajj.
Mm-hmm. No hiccups at the, you know, now, especially when they're coming back, would flights and all that be on time? Do you know if anything happening
there? You know, alhamdulillah, everything has been very efficient in terms of the flights, in terms of the logistics. In fact, as I speak to you now, you know, there's a group of Hajjaj who are leaving from Aziziya, you know, making their way onto the bus, and, you know, the bus will be going towards Jeddah, and they've got a flight this evening, inshallah. You know, so, alhamdulillah, everything has been on time, on schedule, perhaps, you know, maybe an hour or two delay here and there. But apart from that, there's no real obstacle and hurdles, you know, that, that the Hajjaj are, you know, are going through.
Okay, so are they all leaving from Aziziya, or are they perhaps some of the Hajjaj that are in Makkah already?
No, in fact, majority of the Hajjaj, I would say 99% of the Hajjaj, or 99.5% of the Hajjaj are based here in Aziziya. So they will be leaving from Aziziya, you know, back home. There are those, some very few Hajjaj who stay in Makkah right till Hajj. And one of the reasons is that very, very expensive, you know, close to Hajj. So the Hajjaj, most of the Aziziya, I think we made mention of this a few weeks back as well. So most of the Hajjaj will be leaving from Aziziya, you know, to the airport in Jeddah, and, you know, making the way back home. You know, so, you know, it's a happy, you know, for the Hajjaj, like I mentioned, you know, they've been separated, especially those who, you know, it's the first time that many of them have left, you know, their, let alone, you know, their, the country. Some of them left their province for the very first time. So, and they're separated from their families, and, you know, they've left behind young children back home. You know, so that separation, you know, especially a mother is a mother. You know, so she's looking forward to meeting up with her little babies or little children. you know, mashallah, and, you know, you see they have purchased, you know, goodies and toys and, you know, gifts for families and their children back home. So it's a joyous occasion. Alhamdulillah, you know, for any haji to come, you know, they've spent all their money. They've exerted themselves. They've tried to the best of their ability to try and maximize during this, during this journey. And alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala, we just hope and we pray that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you know, accepts this journey, from the Hujjaj. And Allah Ta'ala grants us all. That's ultimately, you know, Allah grants us all the Hajj, which is maqbool and mabroor. Okay. And, you know, for us personally, you know, those ulama, they generally, you know, assist the Hujjaj, you know, not from a logistic point of view, but from a spiritual point of view. Sometimes people ask us that, you know, to go through this year for so many weeks, you know, Hujjaj are asking questions day and night. You know, wallahi, you know, it's a singular bounty from the side of Allah. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has allowed us to, you know, to serve his guests on the greatest journey of a person's lifetime. And wallahi, this is not a holiday. This is not a vacation that a person, you know, comes on. But, you know, this is a spiritual journey where you are linking the person not to yourself. You're lucky linking the person to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, we find over the years, we've seen people coming on this journey, you know, changing their lives for the better, people changing their lives, families, you know, coming closer to the Almighty Allah. So, you know, it's, wallahi, for me personally, after many years, you meet a haji, and he says, alhamdulillah, you know, we had the good fortune of performing hajj in a particular year, and since we came back from hajj, you know, I brought salah into my life, my wife, he came into hijab and niqab, and, you know, there's deen, my son is now a hafidh al-Quran, my daughter is a hafidha, a muallima, she's teaching madrasa, and alhamdulillah, you know, we go out in the path of Allah, there's ta'aleem that takes place in our home, and, you know, for me personally, I think that is, the greatest reward in this thing. Because wallahi, we can never, the reward of hajj, like the hadith says, al-hajjul mabroor, laysa lahu jazawun illa al-jannah. And this is what every haji aspires after for jannatul firdaus. So when the haji leaves from the blessed land, you know, when he boards onto the plane, there's one dua, that, oh Allah, Rabbana taqabbal minna, oh Allah, accept from us. Oh Allah, accept from us, and oh Allah, bring us back, you know, to the blessed lands. So I think this is a dua that we continuously make to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah allow us, to serve the Hujjaj. Alhamdulillah, the radio station, Radio Islam, is an avenue as well. And I mentioned this a few days ago, you know, that for taking the spirit of Hajj, including yourself, sister, to take the spirit of Hajj, you know, back to the listeners in different parts of the world. Inshallah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will include you, you know, in the reward of those, you know, who are reviving the spirit of Hajj. You know, if this serves as a motivation, a inspiration, you know, many a times we hear, Hujjaj, they listen to one lecture, they listen to some sort of advice that is given by scholars and ulama, and that inspires them, motivates them, you know, to put their names down, and inshallah, in 4 or 5 years' time, you know, I would have that opportunity and going on this journey of Hajj. So really, everybody, this is the system of Allah. You know, any person who contributes to some noble deed, inshallah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reward them. They will get the reward. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward, I think the presenters and the radio station, the management, you know, for taking the spirit of, of Hajj, back to the listeners. I recall a few days ago, there was a haji that was with us, and, he passed away, you know, the last day of Hajj. Mm. The last night of Hajj, you know, he was performing Salatul Isha, and in his Salah, you know, he had passed on. So, and alhamdulillah, you know, we linked up with, with Radio Islam, and, the amount of feedback that we have been getting, it's been absolutely phenomenal. You know, that this in itself is an inspiration, that how, oh Allah, let me be amongst the fortunate ones, that you take me as well, so that I could also embark on this journey of Hajj and being forgiven by the Almighty Allah. This Haji came and he performed Hajj, he left from Arafah, Muzdalifah, the last day of Hajj in his Salah. Subhanallah, and the Haji leaves this world in that condition. Allah alone knows. So, you know, normally when a person passes away, it's a very somber moment, it's a very sad moment. His family is here with us. In fact, there were 6 of them in the family. And, you know, when he spoke to his family, to his wife the other day, you know, she said, in fact, with a smile on her face, it's the first time in my life I've seen someone losing a beloved one. And she said that, you know what, on one side, it's a moment of sadness. I lost my lifelong partner. But what more can I ask when he made that dua to the Almighty Allah, that Allah take me away on this blessed journey? She says that was his desire, you know, and Allah tabaraka ta'ala accepted his dua. So Allahi, this is a place, you know, like, you know, what we have referred to, that this is a place where revelation came down, you know, to the different Anbiya, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for a person to stand on this land, really a person, you know, it's indeed a singular bounty from the side of Allah. It's not who you are. It's not what you have. You could be a multi-billionaire. You know, we meet people on this journey. Some people, the only thing they have is the backs on their clothes. Mm. Or the clothes on the backs. You know, they have a small bag or with, you know, some clothing, some good, you know, some food, and that's about it. They don't know where the next meal is coming from. But alhamdulillah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, you know, the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, that oh Allah, you provide for the dwellers of Makkah abundance of fruit. Subhanallah. So, you know, that dua, a manifestation of that dua, you know, it manifests itself when you see 3-4 million people, you know, standing on Arafah, Mina, Muzdalifah, and Allah take care of each and every person, alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, ameen. Mulana, we know the Hajj is now over, and as the pilgrims return home to their loved ones, they take back with them a multitude of precious memories from the journey, lessons they'll hope to apply for the rest of their lives, and an elevated sense of spirituality. But for many, those feelings can quickly fade away once we arrive home, because the contrast between the lands of Hajj and the normal home environment is as striking as day and night. You know, when we are there in Makkah, in Medina, in Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah, it's like we are in, you know, not in a real world. We like in another galaxy of its own. So, you know, what I wanted to know is, you know, we also wish all our Hujjaj, when they do come back, we do wish them Hajj Mabrur, Hajj Maqbool. But what exactly, or what are some of the signs of an accepted Hajj?
Okay, the sign of an accepted Hajj, what the scholars and the ulama have explained, is that when a person returns from this journey, there has to be some, you know, apparent changes in a person's life, in terms of salah, in terms of a person's connection with this deen of Allah, a person's connection with, you know, with his creator. You know, this is a sign that a person's Hajj, you know, would be accepted, is accepted by Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. One is to come on this journey and go back home and return to one's old ways and old habits. You know, then definitely a person needs to do some introspection. But alhamdulillah, if a person goes on this journey and a person returns from this journey in such a way that there is some apparent changes, you know, in a person's life, then inshallah, you know, this is a sign that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has accepted, you know, a person's Hajj. And I think coupled with that, for those who are back home, you know, of some person or the other, you know, who has embarked on this journey of Hajj, you know, we learn from the ahadith that when you meet the Haji, you know, read this dua. قَبِلَ اللَّهُ وَحَجَّكُ وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكُ وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكُ. Then Allah accept your Hajj, Allah forgive your sin, and Allah recompense you, whatever you have spent on this journey. And before the Haji reaches home, let us try and go and meet him, take his hand, and ask him to make dua, for verily his dua is accepted. You know, so I think for those of us who are back home, it's not possible for everyone to come on this journey, but for those who are back home, you know, ask Allah to accept this, you know, this journey of Hajj, because the main thing is, you know, we ask Allah to accept those who have come on this journey, and those who are back home, ask those who have come on this journey to make dua for you. Inshallah, by virtue of that, Allah will forgive you as well, inshallah.
Inshallah. How can the Haji, you know, continue maintaining the spirituality of Hajj, you know, once you return?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the main thing is to keep the momentum going. Like we find in Ramadan, what tends to happen is that the moment the crescent of Shawwal is sighted, complacency tends to set in, where, you know, we go back to our old habits. And here we've been impressing upon the Hujjaj that keep the momentum going, keep the spirit going in terms of our attachment to the deen of Allah, in terms of our attachment, you know, to the with the ulama, with the masajid, with the work of deen, add value to people's life. You know, there are so many community projects that people are involved in. Let us become part, you know, of those particular projects. And who knows? We could be amongst those fortunate ones, you know, that we could continue serving humanity, and Allah will become. This is what Allah loves the most. You know, one is ibadat that we do, but apart from that, add value to people's lives. This is a fundamental ingredient of our iman. This is an important component of our faith, that we become the benefactors of society. And I think if we can go back from this journey and take lessons from the seerah, study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that way, you know, we can add value, touch one person's life positively. That's all it takes. Touch one person's life for the pleasure of the Almighty Allah. You know, when we go back, we tell the Hujjaj that we are not going back to take any titles. Of course, you know, Allah has forgiven you, inshallah. You know, you are now a Haji. But, you know, when you go back, let us not consider ourselves to be superior and others inferior to us. You know, we need to become the beloved of Allah. And what defines one becoming the beloved of Allah? It's the quality of humility. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. That those who walk on this earth with total humility, you know, to take lessons out of the seerah and to become the beloved, you know, chosen servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. And just finally, Mulana, could you share with us some advice to our Hajis that they can actually follow to help them from slipping into a decline, so that one can maintain your Hajj for life? Because ultimately, that is what Hajj is all about. You know, the real work, they say, of Hajj only starts once you get home, in that you need to live your Hajj for the rest of your life.
Yes, absolutely. You know, when a Haji returns, you know, these 4, 5, or 2, 3, 6 weeks that the Haji has spent, you know, there are many, many lessons that he has learned from many of them. It's the first time that they have come on this journey. And they were exposed firsthand, you know, to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We visited historical places. And, you know, one of the ways to preserve this journey of Hajj is for a person to go back home and study the seerah. Unfortunately, today we have distanced ourselves, you know, from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, and as a result of which, you know, we have no connection with this beautiful deen. We have no connection with this beautiful deen. And, you know, so we need to go back and study the seerah. And I've always said that, you know, alhamdulillah, there are many, many books that have been, you know, written, you know, on Medina, on Makkah, on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something we need to imbibe in our, you know, inculcate in our families, start ta'aleem in our homes. And at least in this way, inshallah, you know, we can keep the spirit of Hajj going. Because for many of the Hujjaj have come, it's the very, very first time that they have come. And Allah alone knows. I mean, we don't know. Death is inevitable. It could happen tomorrow. Whether we will come again. You know, we spend thousands of rands, you know, some Hujjaj, you know, they work for 30, 40 years just to prepare, cent for cent, rand for rand, just to prepare for this journey of Hajj. And, you know, we spend all that money and we come there, we come on this journey, we perform the Hajj, we have fulfilled that obligation. But the spiritual dimension of this journey, you know, this is what we need to focus on, that when we go back, we could become, you know, better Muslims, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. Jazakallah khair, Mulana, and to all our Hajis out there, and to Mulana, may Allah accept your Hajj from you, help you to maintain it until you reach the end of your life, and take you there again and again, so that you may step up to even higher levels of spirituality and closeness to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I mean, we make dua to the Almighty Allah, you know, for your first sister and for all the listeners, or those who have not been on this journey. Allah bring you, those who have been, Allah bring us again and again. Allah continue, you know, using us to serve the Hujjaj, inshallah, right up to our last moments.
Inshallah.
And jazakallahu khairan, you know, for taking the spirit of Hajj, you know, back to the Hujjaj. Inshallah, the next time when we speak, inshallah, bismillah, you know, we will be back home in South Africa.
Inshallah. Allah accept. And Mulana, safe trip back to you and all the Hajis out there. And we hope to speak to you again back in South Africa, yes. Inshallah. Well, for the person returning from Hajj, it is often a bit of a shock to return to regular life upon returning home. You know, the old habits and temptations come back, and one must be vigilant in changing one's life for the better and remembering the lessons learned during the pilgrimage. It is the best time to turn over a new leaf, nurture a life of faith, and be extra vigilant in fulfilling Islamic duties, inshallah. Well, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.